It's good to see you today. Sometimes, you know, when I speak, it's a talk that I feel like God makes me almost live beforehand. You might say, well, shouldn't it always be like that? Well, maybe it should. But, you know, this particular talk today is one that I really feel that I've had to kind of work out and sort of live out and through in my own life. And I want to speak about the subject of praise. And we all know what the word praise means. You know, if you praise someone or you praise something. If you've been around church any length of time, you'll hear the words praise and worship. Let's praise God together. What do we actually mean? What is praise? And often there's three words that come out when we're thinking about praise, and they can be used together, sometimes interchangeably, and they're the words thanksgiving, praise, and worship. So briefly, let's just think about those three. Thanksgiving is basically just thanking someone for what they've done. So after church today, I know some of you like to head over into the Kingfisher Centre for your Nando's or whatever, or McDonald's or whatever you want to have, and you'll go up the steps at the bus station, and you know those really quite heavy doors. And you might find that there's someone ahead of you, and they open the door and they hold it for you so that you can walk through. And if you're a nice, kind, polite person, you'll say, thank you. That's a very kind of basic kind of thanks. You're giving them thanks. You're expressing your thanksgiving. It's quite low level in one sense. You don't actually need a relationship with that person. You don't then follow them off into the Kingfisher and start stopping passers-by and going, you see that person? They're amazing. You know what they just did? They held the door open for me. Isn't that amazing? Because that would be really weird. And you may well get kicked out of the Kingfisher Centre if you do that. So thanksgiving is well more kind of low level. It's sort of entry level, if you like. And the Bible kind of puts this into some words in Psalm 100. It says this, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So it's talking about entering the gates with thanksgiving. If you go somewhere, like you might come here to church, and the first place you'll enter is through the gate, either the double gates or the single gates. You come through the gates. It's kind of, it's a first step into something. And in a way, as we come before God, it's our first sort of step. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. And then the psalmist says you enter his courts with praise. If thanksgiving is kind of dipping your toe in, praise moves us on further. So it's like when you come back from your Nando's and you perhaps come back into church, you go through the gate and then you come in even deeper in. Let me try and kind of put it another way. About 6 years ago, my mom had a serious health problem. She had a problem with her spine, and basically, if she didn't have an emergency operation, she would become completely paralysed. The operation carried the risk of paralysis anyway, and also potentially death. So I took her to see the surgeon about 2 or 3 days before the surgery, and he explained to us what he was going to do to try and sort this problem out. But as with all consultants, they have to tell you all the risks, don't they? So you sit there going, okay. So he told us all the things that could possibly go wrong. And then he said, but it'll be all right. As much as he could say that. And we left, obviously, and Mum went into hospital, had the surgery. And the next time I saw the surgeon was about 2 days afterwards, by which time we knew that the operation had pretty much been successful. Actually, it was completely successful. And she made a full recovery. So the surgeon came into her room and he spoke to her and he said, obviously, we've tested this, that and the other, he said. And his words actually went, phew. I thought, okay, I'm glad you didn't say that before we saw, you know. But, you know, how did I feel about this man who had kind of, through his skill and what he'd learnt and his technique, had given back my mom not only her actual life, but also a life of good quality that she would have lost without him. Obviously, we felt very, very grateful to him. And on that occasion, we said, you know, oh, just thank you. Now, I know he's a surgeon. He worked for the NHS. He would probably get, well, he would definitely get quite a hefty check at the end of each month to pay him for his services, as you'd expect. But we expressed to him our thanks for what he'd done for my mum. But something else kind of happened at the time. You see, I'd be walking around the shops or something and I'd bump into someone I knew who knew my mum and they'd go, how's your mum doing? And I'd say, well, actually, she's doing very well because, you know, this surgeon was able to sort out this problem and obviously he was really good and he seemed really kind and he's very skilled and he's able to... And can you see, I'm kind of moving then from thanksgiving, which is directed to the surgeon. I'm now starting to speak to people and praise him, really, for what he'd done. But you know something that would never happen? Yes, I obviously hold this surgeon in quite high esteem for what his skill, but I'm never going to bow down and worship him. Because he's a man. He's a human being like me. In one sense, we're kind of on a level. Yes, he's undoubtedly cleverer and much more skilled in what he does than what I could do. But he's still on a level. And you know, praise we have to express with our mouth. But worship is something deeper. Praise in the Bible means to express, to give thanks, to extol, to make a public confession, to speak of the excellence of. And however much I appreciated the surgeon, I'm never going to worship him because he's human. And when we come before God in worship, we come, it's like a heart attitude. It's like a posture of reverence before Almighty God, who we recognize is not the same as us. The surgeon, he's the same. I praise him for what he's done, but worship, that is reserved for the one who is different to me and who deserves it. Worship at times doesn't need words. We can be on our knees, we can be on our faces even before God in worship, and there's something going on in the depths of our being inside us of worship to God. But you know, praise requires words. It requires an expression. It requires us to say something. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, the writer says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Praise is something we say out loud, the fruit of our lips. Now, I know not everyone here is British, but if you are British, you might feel, oh, hang on a minute, saying something out loud, doing something out loud. There is a sentence I heard that says this, the goal of every British person is to get through life without ever being embarrassed. Has anyone ever heard that? I tried to find out. I think it was John Cleese who said it. But when I Googled that phrase, as soon as the internet picked up the word British and embarrassed, guess what it came up with? Anyone know? Brexit. Try it after. Couldn't find this phrase at all. All it was, embarrassed British Brexit. Yeah, that must be what you're looking for. Well, it wasn't. But anyway, you know, the goal of every British person is to get through life without ever being embarrassed. We like to be a bit stiff upper lip, don't we? We like to be a bit low-key, generalising. We like to keep calm and carry on, which is why all of you had forgotten Brexit was even happening, hadn't you there? And sometimes we can struggle with praise because it means us expressing something out loud what is in our heart to God. And you see people from other cultures, and there are people here who are not British, and they'd be much more exuberant, much more, you know, you see, you know, people, don't you, and their praise is much more exuberant because culturally that's kind of more what they're like. They might find praise a little easier, but that doesn't get us off the hook just because we're British. In 2 Samuel 6, we read the story of the Ark of the Covenant being brought back to Jerusalem. And it was a time of great celebration. And this is what it says from verse 14. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of the Israelites, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would." David said this, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes." Is anyone around church in the 1990s? Do you remember that song? "I'll become even more undignified than this." We sang. Did we? Were we? I don't know. But we sang it. You know, basically what David is saying is, you know what, I don't really care what I look like. I don't really care what everybody thinks. I don't care if I'm actually humiliating myself. I will celebrate before the Lord. Maybe Michal had British ancestry. Obviously she didn't, but you know. He didn't care. He was shouting. He was crying. He was probably dad dancing a bit. But all he cared about was who God was and what God had done. You know, praise is not passive. Who's feeling a bit uncomfortable right now? What's she going to ask us to do at the end? Oh my goodness. You know, you might think that what comes out of your mouth is just words. What does it matter? Can't catch them. They're not material. Once they're said, they're gone, unless it's being recorded and put on the internet, in which case it'll be there forever, but never mind. But the Bible tells us that our words are really, really important. In Proverbs 12, 13 to 14, it says this, "Evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape trouble. For the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward." What we say does matter. Sinful speech traps you, but if you speak good things, it says, the fruit of your lips, you'll be filled with good things. So if the fruit of our lips is good for us and praise is the fruit of our lips, then it makes sense to say that praise is good for you. So the first little challenge of the morning is, what are you saying? What are you in the habit of saying? What is you coming out of your mouth on a regular basis? Are you speaking out good things or bad things? Are you speaking out uplifting things or negative things? Are you using your voice to praise God, or are you using it for something else? I just want to put in a little aside here, because there are sometimes Christians who have a theology that's basically whatever you say out of your mouth, that's what you get. So if you'll say you're healed, as long as you keep saying it, then you're healed, even if you're not. And if you say you have $1 million, you'll get $1 million. This is not true. Otherwise, I would have $1 million. And I don't. You know, the Bible does not teach us to deny reality or to lie about things. You know, if you have a bad back, or you have a mental health issue, or you have cancer, it's fine to say, you know what, I have a bad back, or I have a mental health issue, or I have cancer, because that is the truth. But if we're constantly speaking negative things about ourselves, then that's not good for us. So if, for example, we're constantly saying, I'm afraid, then we are constantly at odds with God, who tells us not to fear. If we're always saying, I'm alone, then we're at odds with the God who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. If we're constantly saying, oh, I'm not good enough, then we're at odds with the God who sent his one and only Son to die for our sin and make us the righteousness of God in Christ. Because in Christ, I can do all things. We've sung it, haven't we, already? In him, I can do all things. And you know, being at odds with God is sin. And we can be trapped, according to Proverbs, by our sinful talk. So what are we saying? What is coming out of our mouth on a regular basis? Don't be condemned by this if you're thinking, oh, you know what, I'm doing that. But ask God how he can help you to change. So why do we praise God? Why would God ask us to praise him? What is the point? Does God need it? If we don't praise God, will God curl up in a corner and say, no one loves me? You know, we praise because the word of God tells us to. Psalm 150, you'll know, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre, praise him with timbrel and dance, praise him with the strings and the pipe, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. No one's excluded, unless you're dead, and I don't think anyone is here. Do you have breath this morning? Yeah? 50%? Oh dear. Good job we did a first aid course. If you have life and breath, then the Bible exhorts you to praise God. But I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter. You have breath. The Bible says praise him. Luke 19:36, they brought to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees, who were the religious people in the crowd, said, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus replied, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. So apparently not even breath is required. God is worthy of our praise. And actually, we don't need any other reason. God is worthy and we should give it to him. He's the creator of all things. You know what? You wouldn't be here without God. Revelation 4:11 says, You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You know, we are created beings. Yeah? We are created beings. God made us who we are. We're not God. We're made in his image, yes, but we're not God. We are other to God. He is above us. We are created beings, and we have to honour our Creator. Our Creator is worthy of praise. You see, culture doesn't teach you this. Culture teaches you that you are the centre of your universe and everything revolves around you. So why would I praise somebody else? You know, because it's all about me. But that's our culture. It's not actually the truth of the Word of God that says God is our Creator and we give Him praise. But praise is good for us because it helps us to understand that place within the created order. You know, we have rights, and there's a big thing, isn't there, about my rights in our culture today. I'm the centre of my world and I have rights. And then we have all sorts of problems when someone's rights trump somebody else's rights. And why should their rights trump my rights? And who's not looking after me? Yeah, it's all our culture, isn't it, at the moment. And it's not all a bad thing. Because actually there have been people in our society that have been seen as sort of second, third class and haven't had rights. And actually it's not a bad thing where it started. But now it's you're the centre of your universe. But when we praise God, when we acknowledge who He is and that He is other from us, when He's higher than us, He gives us that more healthy sense of where we are within that order. Because if your security lies with you being at the centre of your world, what happens when things go wrong? You might be really fit and healthy and wealthy and think, it's all down to me, I've done it fine. But life doesn't stay that way for anyone forever. So where do you go if things go wrong? But you know, if we know that actually we're not in the centre of our world, actually God is in the centre of our world, and we constantly recognise that through our praise, then we know that we're not in control. It actually lifts the responsibility off our shoulders, puts it onto God. The God that we know to be completely loving, completely good, and completely faithful. So praise is good for us. Praise establishes a stronghold. Psalm 8 says this: Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Praise is not limited by age. This is another reason why we're trying so hard to get our children to engage in praise. You know, we don't get them down the front to make sure they all come on time and they all have a biscuit and sit on a beanbag. We get them because we're trying to teach them something. We want to teach them to praise. And they're not learning to praise, actually, so that when they become adults, they know what they're doing. Actually, if you called into that psalm, we need them to praise God now to establish this stronghold against the enemy, because it says, through their praise, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. That's something to think about, isn't it? We need our kids to praise. They're an important part of the mix. It's not just about teaching them. We used to sing a song years ago. I'm not been in this church years, so you might not. But it said, the enemy will be defeated by our praise. You know, praise is a weapon of warfare. And you know the story of David and Goliath. And David was this young boy at the time, and Goliath was like 900 feet tall. And, you know, David said to Goliath the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. What's David doing? He's giving praise. He's saying, actually, God is Almighty. He's the God of the armies of Israel. He's the God that you don't recognize, but He's the God that I come to you in the name of. And we see it in the New Testament as well. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were in prison. I don't know about you, but if I was in prison, I don't know what I'd be like, really. Can't really imagine it. But I can pretty much guarantee at midnight I probably wouldn't be doing what Paul and Silas were doing, because at midnight they were praying and singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. They were praying. They were singing praise and hymns to God. And suddenly God opens the prison doors. And you know, that's a picture of what God can do through praise. He can open prison doors. Things that have seemed to be tied up for years and bound in chains can be opened when we praise, when we set God in his rightful place. Here's a little challenge for your week. When you pray, add up how many times you tell God about your problems. How many times this week will you tell God how big your problems are? And then add up how many times you tell your problems how big your God is. And compare the two. That's something I'm challenged on. You know, in Genesis even, we have the story of Jacob. And if you know the story of Jacob, you'll know that Jacob had his eye on a lady. A very, very beautiful lady. Who had a very, very beautiful name. That bit's not in the Bible. What was her name? Rachel, yeah. So Jacob had his eye on Rachel, this amazing, beautiful woman. Anyway, yeah, Jacob loved her so much that he worked for 7 years to gain her hand in marriage. But there was a bit of a problem because Rachel had an older sister called Leah, and it was the culture of the time that you would never marry the younger daughter off before the older daughter. And the Bible said that Leah wasn't quite as beautiful as Rachel. And Jacob had fallen for Rachel. But what happened on the wedding night when he removed the veil, he realised he'd been tricked. And instead of being married off to Rachel, he'd been married off to Leah. Imagine how he felt, but imagine how Leah felt. Can you imagine? It's your wedding night. You have this big veil on, and when you remove it, your husband goes, "Oh, I was after the other one." I mean, you know, seriously, you laugh, but that would be devastating, wouldn't it? Let's tell Joanne. It would be devastating to hear that on your wedding night, that actually your husband's disappointed because he wanted your little sister. Oh, bless you. But you know, when the Lord saw, Genesis 29, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. And Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she called him Reuben. And Reuben means see. So what she's trying to do, she's had this baby boy, and bear in mind, in the culture, sons were the thing to have, really. And she's going, "Look, see, husband, Jacob, look what I have done. I've given you a son. See, look." She's trying to gain his attention. And she says, "Because the Lord has seen my misery, he's given me this son. Surely my husband will love me now." And then it says she conceived again and had another son. And she says, "Oh, it's because the Lord's heard I'm not loved. He's given me this one too." So she called him Simeon, and Simeon means he has heard. So she's like, "Come on, come on, see, I've given you a son." And then she's like, I've had another son. Look, God's heard my cry, husband. God's heard my cry for you to love me. Come on." Then she had a third son. And she said, "Now my husband will become attached to me. I've given him three sons and my kid sister, zilch, nothing. Three sons I've given him." And she called him Levi because that means attached. Can you see what she's trying to do? She's trying everything to gain the love and attention and affection of her husband, who actually didn't want her in the first place, in honesty. But it seems that no matter what she does, she can't break through this barrier. She conceived again and had a fourth son, four boys in a row. Oh. And she says this time I will praise the Lord. And she called him Judah, which means praise. Can you see the change in her heart? This move from striving to please her husband by giving him one son after another, trying to gain Jacob's love, holding this big identity as the mother. Could this be for someone this morning stuck in issues and problems of life, and you're trying your absolute best to make things work, to make things happen the way that you think they should? But if you were here 2 weeks ago, Alan spoke about the wilderness, and you feel like I'm stuck in this wilderness and there's no breakthrough. Has the time come to lay all that to one side? Turn your face towards God and say, this time I will praise the Lord. Did Leah's praise make any difference to Jacob? Did she gain the love of her husband? Wouldn't it be nice if the story continued and after she'd had Judah, Jacob suddenly turned around and went, wow. You know, but it doesn't say that. Unfortunately, we don't get that kind of tying up of the story. But I heard someone speak on this a good few years ago, and this was an idea they threw in, so I'm going to throw it in. You can judge for yourself what you think. Was it a happy ending for Jacob and Leah? Genesis 49:29, Jacob is on his deathbed. And he gives his instructions. I'm about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave in the field of Ephron the Hittite. The cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre in Canaan, where Abraham brought along with the field as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite. There Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried. There Isaac and his wife were buried. And there I buried, not Rachel, but Leah. I don't know. But at the end of his life, he acknowledges this wife, Leah, actually ahead of his wife, Rachel, who had died a while before. Was the breakthrough? Okay, we don't know. A bit of poetic license there. But you know, there was definitely breakthrough in Leah's life as she turned her face away from trying and striving and giving birth and having another child, away from all of that, to turn her face toward God and say, this time I will praise the Lord. So what's some of our application today? I want to ask you some questions. Perhaps the whole band can head back this way. Thank you. What's been the fruit of your lips lately? Has it been trouble and strife and woe, or has it been praise? How much effort do we put into praise? Are we too concerned about what others might think? When you come to church, are you worried what the person next to you will think if you start speaking out your thanks to God? Or are you prepared to become even more undignified than this? What's the battle you're facing right now? Are you spending more time telling God how big your problems are, or telling your problems how big your God is? Or do you need to turn and say, this time I will praise the Lord? Perhaps we could stand together as we draw this bit to a close, and then we're going to have a time where you can praise. And the songs that we've picked today all talk about praise, speaking out our words before God. And yes, we can have a deep time of worship, and we'll do that too. But just remember that praise is the fruit of your lips. It's what comes out of your mouth. It's the thing that breaks the stronghold. It's the thing that changes you, draws your attention to God who is above you. It's good for you. Who wouldn't want to spend the next half an hour doing something that's good for you? So we're going to do that. But let's just pray just for a moment. If you've been spending a lot of time speaking trouble, strife and woe, why don't you just this moment come before God and say, God, will you help me to turn from my talk of trouble, strife and woe and give me the fruit of lips that is praise, because you're worthy. And if you're standing here thinking, oh, but I get so embarrassed so easily and I don't really want to look a fool and I don't want words to come out of my mouth because what's next door going to think? Why don't you come before God and say, God, you created me, you've given me a voice, I have breath in my lungs, and I'm going to praise you this morning. And I don't care what next door think of me, because this is about me and you, not what they think. And maybe let's leave our battles. Let's leave them perhaps on the seat or under the chair. And why don't we tell our problems how big our God is for half an hour, rather than coming to God to talk about our problems? Maybe right now let's turn our face to God and say, you know what, for the next half an hour, whatever's going on, I am going to praise the Lord. Let's just pray and then we're going to do that. God, we just thank you that you are higher than us, you're bigger than us, your ways are beyond us, God, but ultimately you are in control. God, you are our creator. We are created beings. And God, we thank you that you have given us breath in our lungs today, and you have given us the ability to be able to speak out good things to you. And God, you are worthy of our praise this morning. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of the words we say. Father, I pray that for the next half an hour, we will let good words out of our mouths in praise of you. Father, I pray for anyone today who is struggling, maybe with some really big things, God, maybe seeing so little breakthrough. God, I pray that for just this little time, you will turn their face towards you. God, and today, for the next bit of time, we will say together, we will praise you, God. We will praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So let's do it. Oh, sorry.